This is news that has shook the footballing world to its core.
I apologise. Usually when NASA opens things like that, I get a warning. Okay.
Let's keep our professionalism, man. Sky Sports NAS. It's absolutely
breaking news. Lionel Messi has announced that he would like to leave Barcelona due to the club being poor as fuck. And he said, I don't fuck with broke boys.
It's just, man, this is crazy news. It looks like he is set to join PSG. PSG are, according to Fabrizio Romano, they are extremely confident getting this deal done. Rumours has it that they have booked out the Eiffel Tower for August 10th. That's the rumour on the street. And the last time they did that was to announce the signing of Neymar. So they do it for blockbuster signings. All the signs are pointing to you going to PSG, linking up with Neymar again.
He has incentive to go there because he has a lot of teammates, club and country there. Former club teammates.
Obviously, Poch is Argentine as well. I'm sure they have a good
Poch, he has Paredes, he played with through Copa America. Same for Di Maria. He's been playing with him for a long time. Has Icardi left?
No, Icardi's still there.
Icardi's linked to leave him, but if he stays.
And Rafinha's still there, he's playing with Barca.
Yeah. Played with Rafinha, played with Neymar. There's a lot of links to his past there. He of course gets the great joy of playing with Sergio Ramos.
Yeah, no, I can't believe if you told me this time last year that both of them would have left Real Madrid and Barcelona respectively, I would have been shocked. To tell me that they were playing the same team, I would have told you to fuck off. I would have never believed you. Man, this news, when it broke yesterday, this is one of the things, this is like who killed JFK. I will remember where I was for the moment I died. I remember being at work, man, just looking at my phone. It just lit up. I was assuming it was just a text message or it was a group chat or some bullshit. I look at Lionel Messi is leaving Barcelona. And I was like, oh my lord.
I was in the jacks in work about 5 hours after the news broke and Nozzle sent me a text.
I sent you a text and a shitload of screenshots. I was like, shit, man, we're talking about this. Man, this is insane. I can't believe it. I think before we touch on how enormous this will be for PSG and what we expect from them after the greatest transfer window of all time, if they can pull this through, we have to talk about how badly managed Barcelona have been in recent years.
Yeah.
Like, oh my god, it's such a shit show.
They're one of the biggest clubs in the world and they're acting like a very small club. They're not good with their finances. They put themselves in an awful position. They paid over 50 million for 30-year-old Pjanic. Granted, that was in a swap deal to sort out their finances because of how shit they are.
And got rid of a young prospect in that.
Yeah, but that was the only way they could sort their finances out. That's just an example of exactly how bad these finances are.
Now they can't get rid of Pjanic.
Yeah, now he's just taking up a large wage and he's getting old. He's like, when he was with Juve, he was a great player. But since moving to Barca, he has been past it the entire time. I haven't seen a particularly impressive performance from him in a Barca shirt.
Then they've spent major money on the likes of Griezmann, on the likes of Coutinho.
Has such a ridiculous contract.
Yeah, and absolutely none of them.
To think about what's happening with Griezmann now, that they're after taking Griezmann, and now it's looking fairly likely now, isn't it, about sales swap.
That deal is after breaking down.
Broke down
because Barcelona were demanding a transfer fee as well.
Trying
to recoup some money.
To be fair, if there was no transfer fee in that, I was literally about to slice the shit out of them because they were going to take it without a transfer fee.
Look, man, they have ran themselves into the ground. It's one of the poorest management jobs I've ever seen. Like, one of the biggest footballing institutions of all time has run itself into the ground. They've shot themselves in the foot here.
Yeah.
Joseph Bartomeu, Man, that lad will never be welcome in the city of Barcelona ever again. He ran that club to the ground.
It is crazy to think that within the last 5 years as well, they've taken in a record-breaking, like, the biggest transfer fee that has ever been paid for a player was paid to them within the last 5 years. And now they're in such shit that they're having to let their best player go without. And, like, he's just going at the end of his contract because they can't afford to pay.
But the thing is, his contract ran out in June. Like, and he left in August. All Sony's appointed to, Messi wanted to stay, the club wanted him to stay, and to have to turn around and go, sorry, Leo, can't afford you. This is embarrassing. Lionel Messi, the greatest player in Barcelona's history, hands down, one of the greatest players that ever lived, undoubtedly, no matter who you prefer between him and Ronaldo, everyone has to respect Lionel Messi and everything he's done in the game. To say he went out, not even on a trophy this season, that's okay. Like, there's no shame in that. You can't guarantee silverware every season. He went out, no goodbye from Barcelona, no real goodbye, no goodbye to the fans. Played his last game in an empty stadium. Went on such a whimper. This is embarrassing.
Yeah.
This is one of the saddest ends to anyone's story, in not just football, in sporting history. This is embarrassing.
The worst part about it all, his best mate just signed for
him. Yeah, but the thing is, they couldn't even register them players for so long because they couldn't afford it. They had signed these players, they had made agreements with them, but they couldn't register in the squad. They can do it now. As they said, we think we can do it now, as long as the Liga approves. They tried to shift the blame onto the Liga the whole time, which is why I originally thought, I put my initial raw reaction into a tweet and put it up on the Nozcast. I put my reaction out there. I thought this is a power play between the Liga and Barcelona, and that the Liga would eventually cave, like they did with the Martin Braithwaite deal. They bent the rules to Barcelona's suit, to suit them.
Yeah.
I thought they'd initially do it because of Messi's pulling power and how he is the face of the Liga, that you'd be silly to want him to leave. Yeah, no, they've stuck to their guns, and fair play to them, because Barcelona signed up to these rules. It's not their fault that Barcelona didn't abide by the rules, and it would have been unfair to all the other 19 teams if they did bend the rules to Barcelona.
Yeah, well, so like, fair play to them. If you just think about the squad they would have had, of course it's unfair. Because if they followed the rules, they either wouldn't have been able to get in all the new players that they got, or they wouldn't have been able to have Messi like they are now. But if they got both, it would have just been ridiculously unfair.
This is an absolutely ridiculous, ridiculous situation. Barcelona should hang their heads in shame. A player like Lionel Messi, any player deserves better than this, but a player of his stature, everything he's done with that club, he deserves so much better than this. This is an embarrassing end to one of the greatest football years at any club of all time.
Probably the greatest.
Yeah, well, that's up for debate for sure. You know my opinion that I prefer
for one club, probably the greatest period that anyone has ever spent with one club.
I'm sure the Liverpool fans will be on about Steven Gerrard now or something, but
it's most certainly up there
for debate.
Where were his Premier Leagues?
That's an argument for another day. We'll get on to PSG. They have acted fast.
Yeah.
They seem to have won Messi's favour. I'm sure every club...
Everton are still in the race, man.
I don't know how you fell for that. Do you want to explain to the Nozcast viewers what you fell for? Idiot. Oh, man, this is one of the stupidest things I've ever heard. I thought you were messing with yourself.
All I'll say is, Alex will be puzzling on Messi this league, tell you.
How did you believe a fake Fabrizio Romano thing about...
Man, I don't know how, but I could have sworn there was a verified pick beside it, so I instantly went to Skybet to check the odds, and they were still 50-1, so I was like, oh shit, they have no
50-1, is it? Man, how is that only 50-1?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, so I was like, oh, there must have been some talks beforehand.
We'll explain it in full. Kyo saw a fake tweet from a fake Fabrizio Romano account, saying that Lionel Messi was in talks with Everton, and went straight to Sky Bet thinking he achieved the system and put money on it. Fucking brilliant, that is. Honestly, that was the best thing I've heard in a long time.
It was so funny when I realised it was fake and there's no cash out option. I was just like,
We have to look at this window now. Messi inbound. Already got Wijnaldum on a free, got Ramos on a free, got Donnarumma on a free. Hakimi for 50 million. This is one of the greatest transfer windows of all time. This probably is the greatest transfer window of all time for them.
If PSG don't win the Champions League next season, they are the most inherent bottlers of all time.
If they don't win every available trophy this season, Poch will get sacked and should get sacked on the spot, and then players should all be fined half a year's wage. That's no exaggeration. If they cannot win Ligue 1 and all the fucking other domestic trophies in France, and bare minimum make a Champions League final, absolutely bare minimum, they should all, man, they'd be all lucky to be employed in the morning, because this is embarrassing. This is the Harlem Globetrotters of football teams. This is insane. Yeah. I am so, so happy. I backed PSG to win the Champions League last month. Got them 8-1. I put 15 quid in them. I was so relieved. And now they're down, because I checked today after Lionel Messi was rumoured with them. He wasn't even in like advanced negotiations, which he is now, as the time of this recording. They're 4-1 now.
Wait, what's that you got on them?
8-1. I feel like I'm cheating the system.
We talk about, yeah, so did I, man. I thought that too. You're going to be so upset when he moves to Everton, though.
If he did, I'd, my laughter would make up for my sadness. You know?
But we talked already about how insane PSG's attack is with Neymar, Mbappe, and Di Maria up there. And the level of improvement that it is to go from Di Maria to Lionel Messi is fucking crazy. Like, Di Maria is a good player. He used to be a great player. I'd put him into, like, he's the high end of good player at the moment. That he's not quite world class, but he's still very good. Like, you'd still take him in pretty much any team. But Lionel Messi is one of the greatest players of all time. In almost everybody's opinion, he is one of the two greatest players of all time. And in about half of those people's opinion, he is the greatest player of all time. So it is a massive improvement, and it's going up alongside superstar Neymar, who has been one of the best in the world pretty much since he broke through at Barcelona playing with Messi, and Kylian Mbappe, who is probably the most promising in the world.
Now that you mentioned Kylian Mbappe, because we all know how heavily linked Real Madrid have been with Kylian Mbappe, and how Fabrizio has described them as obsessed with Mbappe. Like, they want him badly. Do you think that bringing in Messi could open the door for Mbappe potentially going to Real Madrid in this window?
I think PSG are smarter than that. There's no way Mbappe goes without someone coming in. Like, I know Messi's coming in, but that's not a long-term option. That's literally getting a player who has 10 years, like I reckon minimum 10 years left in Mbappe's career, an absolute max of 5 years left in Messi's career. Because he'll be 40 at that stage, I'm fairly sure. He's
34.
So he'll be 39 at that stage. I don't see him playing on past that.
The only thing is, Mbappe only has 1 year left in his deal. This time next year, if he doesn't renew, he goes on the free. You lose out on a lot of money.
They should be trying everything right now to go and, like, just say to Mbappe, if you stay here, you get to play with the greatest footballer of the last whatever amount of years. You can learn from him, of course. Mbappe was saying to Ronaldo, but it's a very lucrative offer.
I'm so glad that you mentioned Ronaldo, because it's one prospect that has made me smile, because there's been links for the last 6 months that Ronaldo would like to leave Juve if he could. Again, he only has a year left.
Actually, he went to Barca.
That would be funny. But what would be the stuff of dreams now for, I think, every football fan in the world, if Mbappe was to go to Real Madrid? We all know, we've heard the rumours that Juve want 30 million for Ronaldo, because he's 36, about to turn 37, and it's on the last year of his deal. That PSG used the 100 million to get from Mbappe, spend 30 on Ronaldo, we might finally see Messi and Ronaldo in the same team. Could you imagine that?
Imagine the numbers that would be put up between that front three.
It'd be so scary.
Messi, Ronaldo, and Neymar. There would be no defence in the world that would be able to cope with it, except for maybe if you get Benucci and Chiellini. But even at that, you don't get the Donnarumma behind them. That's the crazy part, is they've got that up front and they're solid everywhere else as well. Very, very promising young centre-back alongside one of the greatest centre-backs of the last 10 years of football. Mm. They've got a very, very promising right full-back, and Bernard. I'd say he's probably the weakest link of the squad.
If you could improve anywhere, it would be really a left back. But
it's not a necessary improvement. Like, there's no, it's not like it's going to be a massive hole that's going to be easily exploited, because inside of him there's Kimpembe and Ramos. So it's two very, very solid centre-backs that you can try to get past that if you do beat them. And both very good in the air as well. Just so even if he does get caught out, because he does like to attack a good bit, if he does get caught out any times, it's fine.
Well, we're both in agreement that PSG pretty much have to win absolutely everything, and they should do it by a country mile. One club that I'm sure must be good at their transfer business so far, for the main fact that they could not have seen Lionel Messi being in America, Manchester City. Pep Guardiola seemed genuinely so surprised in his press conference this morning before the Community Shield. He had said that now that we have signed Grealish and I gave him the number 10, I can't go for Leo. So that brings on to their transfer business. 100 million for Grealish. Just announced there yesterday. He will wear the number 10. He's on an enormous amount of money. What do we make of this transfer?
No Kane.
You say no Kane?
No Kane. That's 9 on 10 taken, isn't it?
Jesus has, has 9.
No Kane. Interesting, isn't it? It shows Grealish over Kane and Messi. What a great manager Pep Guardiola is. If only there was anyone who ever told us that he wasn't that good.
What do you think of the Grealish sign before we move on to the Kane
situation? I think Grealish is a great sign, and not for as much as he was signed for. I think Grealish is viewed, it's like it's a Jesse Lingard situation. Jesse Lingard became a meme because of this. Grealish is still viewed as a youngster. He's 25. He's still a young player, but he's not that, like, he can't win, he cannot win a Premier League Young Player of the Year award. So he's not that young. Okay, so he's a good sign at 25. Usually when you're seeing a 25-year-old move for that amount of money or that significant of a fee, because you have to take everything into account for what year it is. But for this year, that's a very high number. And usually for a player to be taken in at that age for that amount, they have been putting in a lot better numbers than Jack Grealish has been putting up.
There's a few things that I'd like to say on this transfer. I think Jack Grealish is an absolutely wonderful player. I think it's a fantastic signing. Again, I think the money is ludicrous.
It's
from a COVID year where everyone in the game has been talking about the lack of money and how they need to do a Super League to survive. I don't know how you can justify spending 100 million on one player. In a position you are so jam-packed in, where Raheem Sterling can't get regular game time. The best youngster you've ever seen, according to Pep Guardiola, Phil Foden, can't get regular game time. Riyad Mahrez, on the other side, he plays every second game. Bernardo Silva wants to leave because he can't get regular game time. Being a Manchester City winger is extremely difficult. So why did you think that you need to prioritize another winger?
Jack
Grealish can't play his tempo.
It's the fact that his best position isn't even centrally. It's not one of those players like that Phil Foden, where his best players when his best position is playing through the middle and they're forced him out wide. Grealish is best off left wing. But he's clearly not as good in that position as Raheem Sterling is, considering Raheem Sterling started ahead of him for the entirety of the Euros and played very well there for the entirety of the Euros. It's just sort of it's a very confusing transfer.
I just think, the thing that really bugs me about this transfer is, you remember at the end of last year when Pep was crying about, oh, we can't replace Aguero, we can't replace him, oh, we can't replace him, oh, we've no money, maybe I won't buy a striker at all because I can't afford it. He goes to spend 100 million on fucking Grealish in a position where he does not need to strengthen. It's a bonus having Grealish, it's not a necessity. And then he's talking about spending 150 million on fucking Kane, which is who we're going to move on to next. How can any manager come out with them crocodile tears and try to justify this? I think Pep Guardiola is a fantastic manager, but there's no denying he is also a checkbook manager. His own admission is, if I didn't have these amazing players, I didn't spend this money, you put me in a regular team, I wouldn't win. By his own admission, I respect him for admitting that, but Jesus Christ, Pep. Coming off a year where no team, like, you were crying about how you just didn't have money at all, how you just couldn't replace Aguero, you couldn't do this, you couldn't do that, you had to join the Super League just to stay alive. And now, how can you justify it? It bugs me. But yeah. Jack Grealish, as a player, fantastic player. I disagree with you. I think he's better than Raheem Sterling. I think just Gareth Southgate is more rigid and more loyal. I think he trusted Raheem Sterling to do a job, and he repaid that trust. I think Jack Grealish is a better player and he's better off the left hand side. And we'll see how Pep deploys him. There's been rumours that Pep is going to try to play him as an 8.
I
think that this could work. I won't doubt Pep because I never thought that we'd see. Remember the 17-18 season where we saw a midfield trio of De Bruyne, Fernandinho, and David Silva? Mm. I never thought that that midfield could work because I was just like, there's not enough responsibility. There's not enough work rate in that midfield. Like, David Silva can't work an 8, and he worked it by basically dominating the ball for 80% of every match. I think Jack Grealish, I trust Pep to be able to do this. But it bugs me the way he's, the lies he's told, the crocodile tears he shed, and it bugs me.
I think a good way to look at things is for less than 25% more of the money they paid for Grealish, United picked up Jadon Sancho, who was a young English winger, younger than Grealish, and put up better numbers in a similar amount of games last year. Definitely had more influence on the team.
Fun fact.
And Rafa Varane.
Fun fact, and we will be touching upon Varane before the end of the episode. We already had our Jadon Sancho episode, so we'll try to abstain from the Jadon Sancho talk, even though I would agree with you. I think Jadon Sancho was a better signing for the price.
If you look at value for money.
I think Jadon Sancho is by far the better signing.
Like, that's the only way that I see it. Like, obviously, I think Grealish is a very good player. And he clearly is, and he clearly has that special thing about him where he's able to create chances and
he's not a match
cause trouble.
He's not a match winner.
He's not a match winner, but he is, but he isn't. So he doesn't score a match winning goal, but he will have an influential role in that match winning goal.
Do you want to know how many times he scored the match winning goal?
Hey man, I watch HITC as well.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. I was about to say courtesy to the Irish guy. I was about to give him his due, don't worry. Do you remember?
Yeah.
Look, well, I think
you gotta think about. He assists more goals than he scores.
But even then, if we're to compare the last season for each of these players, James Milner's last season at Aston Villa and Jack Grealish's, James Milner had more goals and more assists.
You can't just repeat their video and fucking play
that's
our podcast.
That's not a video. That's no one's video.
It's in that same HITC.
That was not in the HITC video. I swear to God, man, I did not hit. Oh, you saw it on Facebook. I was scrolling through work today and I saw it. I was like, that's actually good. So that's factual. It is factual.
It is factual, yeah. But
alright, on the off chance, because I have to say genuinely, if that is HITC, we give you all credit for doing the homework before we did. But that's what I'm saying. For that money, I think Jadon Sancho is a much better purchase. He is, of course.
So what we're getting at is Grealish was a good sign and just...
Not for the money,
yeah. And he should have been, I think a £60 million would have been the best possible there. Anywhere from 60 to 70, you understand. But when it goes up above 75, 80 million, you start thinking,
the first ever £100 million player going into a squad that does not need his type of player.
And also has better players than him. A lot better players than him.
Mm. I just think it's a very strange transfer overall. What the position I think he's carrying is the position that Aguero vacated. Striker.
Yes, that's where, unless they plan on playing some sort of a way where they're playing an attacking three without a striker, I don't see how this is going to work because Gabby Jesus clearly can't play the role.
And he can't stay fit.
Yeah.
No.
Unless they sign Tony Marichal.
What do we think of the Harry Kane transfer saga? What's your thoughts?
I think fairly happy I put a bet on. Who did I put a bet on? I put a bet on someone to be top goal scorer this year. I think it might have been Aubameyang, and I'm fairly happy about it because Kane's not going to be top goal scorer. Because Kane's not going to move until January, and Kane's not going to play for Tottenham at all.
Look, what do you think of his conduct in the way he's going about by not showing the training?
A little bit. Everyone gave him a lot of props last year when he did that talk with Gary Neville, and he just talked openly about how he wanted to leave for silverware, and he was very honest, and everyone gave him a lot of respect for that, and I think everyone needs to do the same for this and criticize him when he needs to be criticized, because he's going on about it like a little child. He's saying, I don't want to play for you. He's doing a Marcus Rojo on it. Marcus Rojo did this exact thing. I appreciated the shithousery, and I would have appreciated the shithousery for Kane if it wasn't going to Man City. If he wants to go to Real Madrid, I'd love that shithousery. But it's shithousery, but also it's disrespectful. it's disrespectful to the club you're playing for and to the new club, because it's forcing that new club to pay for you, but also it's forcing the club you're paying for to sell you.
I agree 100%, though. I think it's disrespectful to the Spurs. I think it's disrespectful to the Spurs fans. He is adored by that club, and rightfully so, because he is one of the greatest players to ever play for Spurs. Look, I think it's just, I think every footballer...
He's probably Spurs' greatest ever player.
Yeah, probably is. I just think every footballer, you have an obligation. Like, you get paid obscene amount of money. Every single one of them does, no matter what level you play at in the Premier League. Where you could be a relegation battle, you can be win the league.
No.
You get paid crazy money.
Most of them.
Man, even
for big clubs.
The worst player in the Premier League gets paid $10k a week.
They don't.
In the Premier League.
There's, oh, no, there's a lot of players, like especially the younger players. Players that you'd be surprised by some of them.
First team
players. Yeah, no, but you'd be surprised by some of the players like that. Yeah, like, no, I'm fairly sure Eze's still less than $10k a week, and that's not, that's obviously fairly high anyways, but it's not,
yeah,
the sort,
no,
of,
no, but yeah, but he was a young lad coming in. Like,
yeah.
You know, it's different. I mean, established first team players, every single one of them.
Mm. Most of them. I agree with.
Yeah, okay. We'll go with the vast majority, okay? They get paid crazy money.
Well, right? 50-50.
They get paid crazy money. Your job is, you have to show the train. No matter how much you want to leave, I agree. Harry Kane, I agree with his ambition to want to leave. I do think he's right to leave. I would hate for him to go to City, but I can 100% see why he wants it. Me and him discussed many times how he would be probably our dream time because he fits our style of play so well.
Yeah.
But I understand his point of view, but you have to go to training. I think he's risking his legendary status at Spurs. The way I think he'll leave a sour taste in our mouths if he leaves that way.
I think at the moment, the most likely club to sign him is Man United. And I think that's because, as I said, Man City have the two numbers he's most likely to take up, gone. And the way he's acting makes me think, I wouldn't have thought it before, but the way he's acting now makes me think he'd be the type of player that wouldn't play because he's not getting his number he wants.
That being said, though, if he was to come to Man United, if your theory is correct, number 9 and number 10 are both taking Martial and Rashford.
Yeah, but we can get rid of Martial. We're getting Kane, I mean, we're going to give the Martial. We're not exactly going to just pay up like 200 mil. No, we're going to go like maybe 80 mil plus Martial, and they're going to go, oh, we get a striker out of this? What?
My verdict on this, I think Kane will stay at Spurs. I think he'll stay for the season. I don't see any way he's leaving.
I think he'll stay, and I don't think he'll play a lot. I think he will play, but I don't think he'll play a lot. I think he'll be a player that's substituted out a lot, and he'll be a player that gets dropped 2 or 3 times throughout the year.
I think he won't play for the first 2 or 3 weeks because obviously he's only coming back to preseason training tomorrow, which he has come out and stated today, and he's come out fighting. He's come out saying that he never refused to train, that he always intended to come back Saturday, and the club knew that. I'm going to call bullshit in this because he's only coming out that now that Lionel Messi was being linked with City and that Jack Reed had signed for 100 mil. Mm. So he can go, that is bullshit. There's not a chance. He rejected to come. The whole Spurs training was there. They had all the reporters out there. The club were refusing to comment that, of course you're going to be back. We all know you're going to be back, Harry. Like, why did you wait 5-6 days to make that statement if you were that furious about these reports? He's trying to save some grace because I think he realises himself Daniel Levy is not someone you play hardball with. Daniel Levy will hold out for every single penny of that 150 million. He is not going to lose in this. Daniel Levy will get a good deal for Spurs financially. And Harry Kane is going to lose. He's 3 years left in his contract. He should not have signed that 6-year contract if he had any ambition of wanting to win trophies. Because Spurs are not a club that win trophies. No matter how they were on a good projection at the time he signed that contract. Sign a 3 or 4 year deal and you're in a position of power here. Because then Daniel Levy has to make a decision. He has to decide whether to cash in you or to milk you for everything you got.
Yeah.
Daniel Levy is all the power now. You have 3 years left in your contract. If he decides to keep you for this year and you want to go next year, he still has 2 years. He can easily get 80 mil at least for you. Mm. Minimum. That's what I'm saying. Daniel Levy is all the power here now. Harry Kane will stay. He won't play for the first couple of weeks of the season while he gets his fitness back up. By the end of August, maybe after the international break in September, he'll be back in the starting lineup. And I still think he's going to score 20 goals a season. The Spurs fans will forgive him because he'll do his best and he'll work for the team, he'll do what he does, goals, assists, and he'll start licking up to him a little bit, get back in their good books, and he'll do his best to leave next season, which I think he'll be allowed to do.
I don't think he'll have that good of a season. I think it'll be a lot more of an assist and role for him. I think it's just going to be the Harry Kane always has that lethal finish, and he's always so decisive and just knows when he gets the ball at his feet, he knows he wants to hit it, so he shifts it out and hits it quick. I think there's a chance that with all this problems in his personal life and problems with the club, and probably if it's anything to go by every other club in England fans, there's a chance there's a high chance he gets booed. Especially if you look at other clubs in London, there's a high chance he gets booed. I think that might take an effect on him. I think he's a player that you can see he does like, he loves the fans and he loves that the fans love him. And I think if they turn on him, I think his form might turn a little bit. I think he'll keep the assists up, and I don't think that is going to change too much, because that's all about his connection with the other players. But I think when it comes to those lethal moments where he has to finish something, I think he might suffer a little bit.
It's an interesting take. Personally, I think he's well equipped for opposition.
Yeah, I think he's equipped for opposition, but when it's his own.
Yeah, that's the question that that's.
Or what am I on about?
Do you think his own fans, when he makes his first appearance back with Tottenham, let's say he makes it, and he's there warming up on the pitch, and he comes out, let's say he comes on off the bench, do you think he gets booed?
I think it all depends on how the first game goes. I think instinctively they won't boo him, but he won't get a huge applause if he is coming off the bench. And I think what's going to happen is it all depends. If he with his first touch, he whips the ball into the top right corner, all of a sudden he's back on side with the fans. They all love him. Whereas if he takes his first touch and he tries a little cheeky pass and it just goes wrong and makes it look bad, I think they could turn on him. Because as I've said, we've seen it with England fans at the Euros. We've seen it with Arsenal fans with the club captains in the past. With Lauren Koscielny, with Xhaka, I'm fairly sure fans had scraps with Mertesacker at times. They just hated all their club captains. You've seen that around London as well. Like Chelsea have had problems with their players a lot, racially abusing their own ones. Not so much with the smaller clubs, but even still, like with Fulham, there are big issues. Mitrovic example, like everyone wants him to play, he doesn't get to play, they hate on whoever plays instead of him. Pretty simple stuff like that. I think there's a chance that it ends up turning bad, turning sour. Obviously, I hope it doesn't. I hope he gets to play his football, because it's great seeing Kane on form. He's a great footballer. He does amazing things, even though he doesn't need them for a fucking club that anyone cares about. You know?
You say it there, you don't think Harry Kane will have a good season. What would be your expectation for Harry Kane's upcoming season? What do you think he'll hit goals?
Okay, so yeah, I don't think he'll have a good season for Harry Kane. So that means I think he'll get between 10 and 15 goals. 10-15. So it's obviously, as I said, I think he'll still have that connection with his teammates. That Heung-min Son connection is like 30 goal involvements for each of them a season, easy. I think that's where he'll keep that up, but it's those moments with the free kicks or those moments of magic, like that goal, was it Chelsea scored it against, where he just whips it into the far corner. Them sort of goals, I think, is where he'll lack. He'll lack the confidence and the conviction to get them done.
Here's one thing I want to touch on before we wrap up this episode.
Mm-hmm.
Rafael Varane. We were fully expecting, when we had our outline for what episodes we're doing this week, and we knew what day we were doing them. Obviously, the Messi news is breaking. We just got very lucky that it was the day before we had planned to do this.
Yeah.
That this happened. We fully expected that Varane would have been wrapped up and we could have talked about him. Varane is still not done. He only landed in Manchester yesterday. Has to quarantine for 5 days. Him and Sancho both won't be available for the first game of the season. I have to say, before we close this episode up, I think this situation has been incredibly frustrating. I think, what is the point in getting your business done early if they won't be there for the start of the season? Jadon Sancho is not overworked from what he did at the Euros.
No, but he does need time to recover. No. He needs time to recover mentally.
I agree with that, but he went on holidays and then he's meant to come back to training last week, and then unknown issues why he didn't join up, and then he's only joined up on Monday. Varane got knocked out early at the European Championships. He had his holiday. He's been waiting to leave Madrid for so long. He had his boys a week and a half ago.
Quarterfinals isn't that early.
Man, he left a week and a half, 2 weeks before.
It was before he was expecting to leave, but it was still a pretty long tournament. I'm fairly sure he played every minute of it.
No, but what I mean is that he went on his holiday. Like he.
Yeah, he had his home.
He was in Madrid. Then the transfer happened. He said his goodbyes. He was ready to go. Visa issues. Then he has to quarantine, which no other player is at the quarantine.
And then he might have just not been vaccinated or something.
But man, it's just, I don't know about you, but this just left me incredibly frustrated because all the signs, like Eddie Cavani still isn't back.
Yeah, that one frustrated me more so.
Oh my god!
Because at the moment, it worries me for an opening match of a season that we're all so excited for against such a big rival of ours, and we're missing Rashford because he has decided to take his time off for his injury, which we talked about in the Jadon Sancho episode. We're very happy that happened. So we have Rashford there, then Sancho's not going to be there, Eddie's not going to be there, and Varane's not going to be there. So that's a lot of important players that we might be missing out on.
And the fact one of our preseason games got called off because of COVID issues. Yeah. Lee Henderson has COVID, means David De Gea will play against.
And there's obviously that and other worry
so
of...
Many games. So many preseason games ahead of us.
We've discussed it a little bit that we both think it would be better for Fernandes to take the first game off, but obviously at the moment it's not looking like that's going to happen. No. It's not going to look like he's going to get any rest at all.
And this is the comment that from Samuel Luckhurst, he reports an awful lot on Manchester United, particularly on Twitter. He uses kind of online platforms. He was asked, why hasn't Eddie Cavani joined up with the squad? He goes, I would imagine it's because he went 7 months without playing last year. He is the oldest outfield player in the squad and he can only start one game per week. And this absolutely boiled my blood. I said, I love Eddie, but if seriously, I said, if you were telling me that he can't, like, so what the fuck, 7 months without playing last season, yeah, he should have been fit, like, unforeseen, like, niggling injuries, alright, that's fair enough, that's an excuse to get this time off, like, oh, he can only play one game a week, let's get another striker then.
I believe him that he can only play one game a week, because I believe if, at the age he's at, he is getting older, and we saw last season that he was best early on in his performances. He didn't really like sort of when he scored late goals in the game. It tended to be when he came on as a sub and not when he was playing for the full 90. And when he scored early, obviously he got to start the game score early. But usually, most of his goals come in fairly early on. I thought myself that you could see that he didn't fade, but you could see he got tired towards the end of the games. So I can see that there's maybe a thing where he can only play once a week, and I understand that, but he still should be joining up for preseason and playing one game a week.
I think he should be, like, wherever we're not playing in the preseason games, wherever that are coming on last 20 minutes, I'm just getting, like, build up his, manage him better than what you're managing him. Man, the lad is 34, he's the same age as Lionel Messi, he's 2 years younger than Cristiano Ronaldo, who plays absolutely every minute of every game.
He is a fucking physical freak.
No, but what I mean, man, is that is no excuse. I said, you are playing at Manchester United. You've signed this contract extension. You are the main man. You are our man up top. We have not gone in the market for Kane, not gone in the market for Haaland, not gone in the market for Lukaku again because he's being linked with Chelsea. And we might touch on that just before we close up on the episode. But what I mean, man, is that we have put our title aspirations on this man. And he's saying, I can only play a game a week.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, mate. It's like, that's not good enough. We can't afford for that. It doesn't worry me
too much because I hope what happens is we start out and we use Cavani as our prime striker because obviously he has that experience in the leagues. Like, he's been playing top flight football for a long time. He has that finisher's instinct. And I hope we use the younger boys, we use Greenwood and Martial throughout the cup competitions and through the European competitions. And then I'm hoping around Christmas we'll see one of the two younger lads is starting to put up proper numbers, and then we see a nice little switch where Cavani goes out and starts playing in the latter stages of the cups, so sort of help us seal them off, and we get a bit of Premier League experience for one of the younger lads. Give them, like, obviously both of them have a lot of Premier League experience already, but giving it to them in that position where they're actually getting to play in both their preferred position, which is as that centre forward, with the others playing around them. With such good players playing off them, it's hard to see how they wouldn't succeed.
What I'm worried about is now this is a Pep Guardiola comment that Ollie quoted himself yesterday. He said, you can't win the Premier League in the first 8 games, but you can lose it. And Ollie said that's what happened to us last season. With our terrible start to last season, we lost the Premier League before it even started. And I am so scared it's happening again. This is the best position we've been in a long time. And it feels like a lackluster pre-season where a lot of players seem to be very lax about coming back from their holidays. And Ollie seems to be, I've loved Ollie's man management for a long time. I love the way he approached things, but to me, this is getting a bit too close to comfort to me. This could prove, we could be proven all wrong.
I think that's what's going to happen.
Come 2:30 next Saturday, the 14th of August, we could be like, Jesus, what the fuck? Why were we giving it? Because this could have been, we could have knocked Leeds off the park. But if we don't, if we get off to a bad start, City are not going to drop points. Liverpool are going to be just as strong as ever. Now that Van Dijk, Gomez, all the injuries are back. Chelsea, after two come in, they were a revelation. And after the business that they are looking to have done, they're just going to kick on. Yeah. We need to get off the good start. We have 3 very winnable games to start our season, and we need to win all 3. Like, there is no excuses.
Yeah.
Any drop points is a failure. We can't afford it. If we want to compete, man, we can't. And it's scaring me. Like, all the positivity I got from our early business, I'm still in love with the signs. The signs have been fantastic. But there's no good making these signs so early in the window if you're not going to have them there. There's no excuse for this. No excuse. Before we close out the episode, we did mention, so we will talk about Romelu Lukaku being linked with a return to Chelsea for an enormous amount of money. Apparently, Chelsea have had 2 bids rejected. Inter are looking for 130 for him, €130 million, that is. Chelsea are looking for a fee, hopefully around the 120 plus Marcus Alonso range. What do we think of this? Is this good business, bad business?
Not surprised, motherfuckers. such a Chelsea move. Fucking getting Lukaku back again. Again. They're doing so much. Just leave some man be. Let him play good football elsewhere. But it's gonna end up being a good signing. He's gonna do what Lukaku does. He's gonna score goals. Lukaku never fails to score goals. When he's getting criticised, he gets criticised about his first touch because they can't criticise his goal scoring in the slightest because he averages pretty much a goal, 2 goals every 3 games, I think, over the course of the last at least 5 sort of seasons. He's got a lot of criticism, but it's pretty undeserved.
Oh, I think, as I said to you, when Rom played for United,
I loved him.
Yeah, I absolutely loved Lukaku. He always batted in goals. He always put in a shift. I know he was a little bit overweight at the time, but he always put in a shift, and he was a physical specimen. He was one of the best target men in the world. And he was just always a menace to play against. One of our greatest nights in our recent history was the comeback against PSG in the second leg. And Romelu Lukaku contributed that completely. The 2 goals he scored put us back in the leg. He could have took that penalty there at the end, and he didn't, because he said Rashford better. He was a team player. He always put the team first. I thought he was an absolute delight to have. We saw him for $75 million. Ollie wanted him gone. Lukaku wanted to go at that stage because he wasn't happy because the fans hated him at that stage, undeservedly so. I think from a football point of view, I think Lukaku's kicked on since left us. He's got even better at Inter. He's got even better international level. I think this is a brilliant signing from a football point of view. Financially, for a 28-year-old to pay potentially $130 million,
it's a lot of money.
Look, you're losing
money. And Marcus Alonso.
Well, that Inter, according to Sky Sources, this isn't Fabrizio, this is Sky Sources, they have said that Inter would prefer a cash-only deal. They don't want Marcus Alonso. So,
well, what about Marcus Alonso?
Imagine being told, now you're alright. We'll just take the money.
Yeah, imagine they offer him $130 million plus Marcus Alonso, they're like, yeah, keep him.
Yeah, it's like, sorry. But,
you could keep $10 million.
Regardless of what happens, like, obviously, just say you sign him on a 5-year deal. That's a lot of money for Lukaku. There'll be no resale value to this. I can't imagine going on a massive decline, even though Chelsea do tend to have a lot of bad luck with their strikers.
Yeah, but
I can't imagine that happening with Lukaku, just because, in my opinion, he's a world class striker.
It's not a risk. That's the thing, is it's not a risk. There's a lot of risks taken, and in my opinion, even Erling Haaland is a risk because of Timo Werner, pretty much. Similar sort of player, that they're both young players that the majority of their experience, the majority of what we've seen from them has been in Germany. And in my opinion, German goalkeepers ain't great. Well, German league goalkeepers. German goalkeepers themselves are some of the best in the world. But I think that's, it would have been a risk to get him. Whereas Romelu Lukaku, in his last 3 Premier League seasons, I think has over 50 goals. So, That's not a risk. That's a proven goal scorer. That's someone who's done it at multiple clubs as well. The only issue is he obviously likes Chelsea. He obviously wants to play for that club.
Even though he picked us over them.
Yeah, he did pick us over them because he likes us more.
And because Jose, Paul Pogba. The connection he had with Jose.
And was, Paul Pogba.
Yeah.
Paul Pogba gave him a handshake and he went, oh friend.
Agent Pogba. No, I can't say I agree with your Haaland take, but I agree with your Lukaku take.
I don't think Haaland would be bad in the Prem. I just think it is a risk. Because everyone thought Werner was a risk-free investment as well, and then he came over and he couldn't perform the same.
I just think that Chelsea, the one thing they were missing was a clinical striker last year. They have great attacking players, but none of them had posted the numbers that they would have liked. Jorginho was the top goal scorer last year. I think you add Lukaku, Lukaku guarantees 20 goals a season, minimum. He has done it every single club he's ever been to. He has scored goals. I think this signing gets done. Financially, it does not make sense, but you're lucky that Roman Abramovich absolutely loves this club and he loves investing money into it. He just wants to see him do the best on the pitch. From a football point of view, this could propel you to the very, very top of the Premier League and a good push to retain that Champions League title.
Yeah.
This is a great football signing. Financially, Roman Abramovich's bank account is going to take a hit. But I think it's an absolutely brilliant signing. And I can't wait to have him back.
I don't think he'll mind, though. I think it'll get repaid to him with trophies.
Yeah, so that's all he cares about. That's why I love Abramovich as an owner, is that he will do whatever it takes for Chelsea Football Club to win.
Yeah, he doesn't care about the club making money. He cares about the club winning. Yeah, obviously, making money comes along with winning, but it's a better thing to want to win to make money than just want to make money and sell a fuckload of kits like most clubs do.
Exactly. If they get this across deal, Chelsea will be the real deal next year.
Yeah, definitely. And on that note, I think that's all of the major topics that we'd like to cover. All the major sort of moves that might be happening.
Yeah, don't worry. We'll be back soon on Sky Sports Noz. As soon as any more transfer updates come, you know, we'll be back.
Noz News just sounds better and he's going for Sky Sports Noz.
Yeah, because Sky Sports News, man.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Sky Sports Noz.
I haven't worked that out yet. I thought it was because of fucking
you,
Sky Sports.
I know, but I
smiled
your face and you loved it.
Okay, so on that note, thank you all so much for listening. Any final words, Noz?
This is all we have on Sky Sports Noz. Thank you for listening. Stay tuned for the next one.
Peace out.